Morning, departments and the entities that are here today. You're welcome to Parliament. Before we start, I would request that we observe a moment of silence for prayer and meditation. Can you do that? Thank you. Silence means silence, Zeke. I can hear your voice. Praying with the tea in the mouth. Do we have any apologies? The apologies that we have received from Honorable Tseke, who the husband is hospitalized, Honorable Connie, who is hospitalized, Honorable Basson, and Malika, and Honorable Malika, Mabika. I was wondering where do they have Malika from. Okay, Honorable Mabika has given apologies to. This is a continuation of the meeting of yesterday. We are discussing the annual report of the Department of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation, but we are focusing on human settlement and its entities.
Chair, can I ask something? Sorry.
Yes.
To interrupt you. Are we correct into this meeting? Do we have a quorum for this meeting?
Okay. Yes. We do, Honorable Member. yes. But actually, in most instances, the full quorum is needed when we take a decision. If there is presentation, as long as the chair is there, the meeting will proceed. Yes, but now we are forming quorum. Thank you very much. Today we are going to interact with the NHPRC. We want to take this opportunity. That's the team that we meet with. They are the first. We are meeting with three entities today. We want to take this opportunity to welcome the leadership of the entity. And let me introduce my team members of the Portfolio Committee, and so that as you present, you start by introducing yourself. We have Honorable Mofotu next to yourself there, and Honorable Powell, Honorable Iris, Honorable Mushala, Honorable August, Honorable Mvana, Honorable Zeki, and Honorable Mashiho will be joined by Honorable Sihlwayi. She's around, she's on her way. So I'm going to hand it over to yourself to present, and starting by introducing yourselves, the team from NHPRC only. The rest you'll introduce you as you come in to present. I just want to check who's from the department. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much. You can start.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, my name is Mam Bekozi. I'm the Deputy Chair of NHBRC. My job is going to be very brief. I will be introducing the NHBRC team, and then we will have our officials doing presentations, and we will take questions thereafter. We have our acting COO, Mr. Utsile Maseng, and perhaps can he raise his hand so that I can see. Next to him, we have Mr. Songezo Boy, who is our CEO. Songezo? CFO. This is the same. And next to him, we have Julia Mutapula, who is our acting COO. And on my left-hand side, we have Matebe Kumalo, who is fairly new in our organization. She's our strategic manager. Thank you very much. Okay. I will now hand over to...
No, before you hand it over, where is the chairperson?
The chairperson of the board has an apology, and we knew about already 2 weeks ago that he is not available on this day, and due to, yeah, so I'm representing him, and I...
Whom did you send the apologies to? Because it's not your meeting, this is my meeting.
We must apologize for that. We thought that my representation, I would fairly represent the chairperson, and I think in future, Chair, we've taken note that the apology must come to you if the chair is not availing himself for any reason. We've taken note of that, Chair.
Okay, thank you. He must apply for the leave, and we grant it or we refuse. We refuse because this is an annual report meeting. And people who are counting to Parliament is the chairperson of the board and the CEO. So he must apply from Parliament. So, yes, with good reasons, of course. It should not happen again. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Committee. As already introduced, my name is Utsile Maseng. I'm the Acting CEO of the NHBRC. I will be taking you through our presentation for the 18-19 Annual Report, and I will be doing that with my CFO, who will be dealing with the financial aspects. Chairperson and members of the committee, this is the table of contents of the presentation that we will be sharing with you today. We will definitely be dwelling on not much, because we have dealt much on that in our induction session, but just briefly on the strategy of the council, as well as its governance structures, so strategic objectives, products and services that we are currently offering. Then we'll deal with the issues pertaining to audit and our outcomes. Performance for the last 5 years, we've included performance for the last 5 years, Chairperson and Committee, just to give the committee the benefit of having a perspective of where the entity comes from in the last 5 years, given the fact that this is the new administration. And then we will deal with key performance highlights, especially for the 18-19, which is the year under review. Summary of the historical performance over the last 5 years, and then obviously our organizational performance for that year, as well as the financial reviews that will be handled by our CFO. Chairperson, you and committee, you would remember during our induction, this is the strategy that we shared with the committee, to say that the NHBRC is an entity of the human settlements that is charged with ensuring that it assures quality homes throughout the country. Our mission is to protect housing consumers through regulation of the home building and industry, as well as our intention has always been to be a champion of our housing consumer, and this is always anchored under those three pillars of ensuring that we not only protect the housing consumer, but we enable builders to achieve the industry standards as well as regulate the industry itself. Now, the deputy chairperson that has just introduced us is a deputy chairperson of our council, as well as the governance structures that we have in the entity, and that's what we have up on the screen there. We have all the committees, audit, risk, and all of those committees that you see in front of you. The body or the council is made up of 13 experienced as well as skilled individuals that are actually helping us as management to steer this ship in the right direction. Our strategic objectives, members of members of the committee would remember, we've clearly had indicated that is to improve cost effectiveness and internal efficiencies of in operations, as well as ensure effective regulatory compliance, entrench a culture of compliance, and ensure efficient enforcement of mechanisms, as well as maintaining a sustainable warranty that we utilize to protect housing consumers. Now, as part of our products and services, members of the committee, we deal with registrations as well as renewal of registrations of home builders. We deal with enrollments of homes in both the subsidy as well as non-subsidy sectors. We deal with inspections in both of those sectors, and we also deal with training of the home builders across the spectrum. Now, this covers all women, youth, military veterans, as well as all the artisans. We also conduct geotechnical assessments for municipalities and provincial governments. We also deal with resolution of complaints, conciliations, also part of our business, where we handle these conciliations between housing consumers and home builders. We also offer legal advisory as well as enforcement norms of standards throughout the industry itself. Chairperson and members of the committee, this is the last 5 years of our audit performance as the NHPRC. Starting from the 14-15, you would see that we have been basically been able to get or been able to achieve positive outcomes from the Auditor General with unqualified outcomes with findings. Now, this unqualified findings or unqualified outcomes, we have been able to maintain them quite consistently, and the only slump that we had, it was on the year 17-18, where the entity had slumped and basically was qualified. Now, I'm coming before you, chairperson and members of committee, with a positive outcome this time around, to say that the entity has been able to regain its ground, it has been able to come out of the woodworks, it has been able to regain its green status, and the AG has been able to give us an unqualified audit in the past financial year of 18-19, which has been a very good performance by our collective. Now, members of the committee, we have deliberately covered the last 5 years, as I had indicated in my introduction, given the fact that the committee is still new with the new administration. So we covered the last 5 years just to give the committee a perspective of where this entity has been coming from in terms of performance. You will see from 14-15, now the blue representing our achievements and the orange representing the non-achievements. You will see that in the 14-15, our achievement was sitting at 29%. That was very low. But we have sustainably grown in terms of performance throughout the years, from that 29% to 38%. You will see in 16-17, we came out at 55%. 17-18, 64% in the last financial year that we've just completed, or which we are currently reviewing, we came out at 79%, and it's the intention of this collective to ensure that we don't regress at any point. We continuously grow that blue chart, a blue bar that you see there, because that's where we would want to see us ourselves going forwards and never backwards in terms of performance. So that's basically the narrative in terms of our past 5 year trajectory or performance. It has been a steady growth, but a positive one in that regard. Now, in the 18-19 year that we have just completed, Chairperson and Committee, these are some of the highlights that we would want to share with the committee. Some of the initiatives that we've been able to come up with or basically deliver in the past financial year as the NHPRC. We were able to initiate a social transformation program that increased access to targeted groups in the construction sector. As it is currently, we are undergoing a process of amending our bill. Basically, it's not only even an amendment, but the repealing of the Housing Consumer Protection Measures Act. We are repealing that act, by Chairperson. The process is currently going through public participation, and the whole intention is to ensure that we repeal the act just to ensure that we not only improve on our efficiencies as the organization, but we ensure that our housing consumers that we are protecting are better protected going forward. We are going to cover mostly of the areas that we were not able to cover before, so we would want to ensure that we extend our coverage to the rural house, the rural areas, and we are also extending our warranty coverage to ensure that the cover that we are extending to housing consumers is actually as wide as possible to ensure that housing consumers benefit out of this particular instrument that we have deployed. We also would want to extend our services and our coverage to mixed-use developments to ensure that we are actually covering and as well as protecting those housing consumers that are staying in within these developments which are mixed use. What I would also want to report to as the committee, and I'm sure as part of our deliverables, I spoke to the fact that we do inspections as the entity. One of the initiatives, key initiatives that we have introduced or we've been able to initiate with professionals in the University of Johannesburg who are assisting us is to ensure that we improve our inspection model. We review its current model and basically deal with how effective it is currently. So as it is currently, that review is currently underway, and we will be able to ensure that we not only improve, but ensure that our inspections are quite effective going forward, because that is the hardcore of our business. That is what we use as an instrument to ensure that we protect our consumers out there. We have also been able to build 9 houses using IBT technologies. Now, this was part of our social interventions as the NHPRC, where we've identified social cases that that deserve our assistance, and these are initiatives that we currently carry out as part of our CSI. So in the past year of 18-19, we were able to build those 9 houses using IBT technologies as part of our, you know, encouragement of this particular technology going forward. We've also embedded the risk management within our operations just to ensure that we improve our assurance model. But over and above that, as I had indicated, Chairperson and Committee, we also, in that year that is under review, the 18-19, were able to achieve an unqualified audit opinion from the AG. Now, just as a summary, that's basically the summary of our performance on the registration aspect. You will basically see that the gray bar, obviously being the total of what represents the complete amount of our registrations, and that orange bar being renewals, as well as the blue representing our registrations. So that chart shows you how we've been able to improve in that space in the last 5 years. We also deal with enrollments as well as late enrollments of homes. The orange obviously being late enrollments. Now these are houses that are enrolled late. Now this is post construction, which basically poses a risk not only to us as a business but to the consumers themselves. And then you have the blue part being enrollments that are being discharged timeously. You will see that we have continuously ensured that we keep that orange bar low throughout the years to ensure that late enrollments are discouraged as much as possible, because we want our people to ensure that they enroll their homes before they construct, so that then during constructions we are able to deal with technical supervision so that then we can assure quality. The chart that you have in front of you, members of the committee, speaks to the subsidy enrollments. Now, these are enrollments that are being made by government developments or government housing developments. You'll see there has been a decline of housing enrollments from obviously our provincial governments, and obviously this has to do mostly with the fact that instead of enrolling houses, now obviously there is this shift towards issuing out service stands and all of that. So, but that chart or the bar that you see in front of you, it shows you from the 14-15 right up until the 18-19, the numbers of enrollments that we've been getting from the respective provincial governments throughout the country. When it comes to inspections, this is what our efficiency looks like in terms of both the subsidy as well as non-subsidy, the blue representing the non-subsidy and the orange representing the subsidy. I've indicated earlier on, members of the committee, that we have also retained the services of professionals. Now, these are experts from the University of Johannesburg to help us review our current inspection model so that then we improve its efficiency. As it is currently, that exercise has just been completed, and that report will be presented to our members of council so that then we are able as officials to deploy this new way of inspecting homes to ensure that we cover all our citizens adequately. Disciplinary matters, that's how they have been able to improve over the years. This past performance of the 5 years, you will see that they have increased because we have tightened and heightened compliance through our legal department to ensure that we hold errant and erratic builders to account as much as possible. Ideally, we would want to see that completely disappearing, because we would want builders to comply. But as and when there is erratic behavior from them, we discipline them and ensure that we suspend them. And that's what that suspension chart you see in front of you represents. These are builders that we've been able to suspend over the years for having not been able to hold to or conduct themselves according to building standards or regulations. And I think I've already touched on the 18-19 performance. Now, this is our work profile, Chairperson, for the benefit of members of council. This is how we've been, or we are configured as the institution. This is the spread of the top management throughout the organization. You will see that we've got a fairly good representation of 348 females as well as 286 male staff members. So we are sitting at around about 634 staff members throughout. So the gender balance is quite reflective of the country's geographic and gender representation. Social transformation, the initiatives that we are currently running. We are training home builders, and this is how it's represented through gender representation. We deal with also trained technical professionals. We also carry out training for military veterans, artisans. We also carry out learnerships. People living with disabilities are also being catered for, youth and women. So those are the numbers that we currently are presenting to the committee for the 18-19 as our performance and our achievement. The programs that we dealt with or we were able to discharge in the year under review, we had programs starting with program one, which was administration, which we performed fairly well. The blue obviously representing all the targets that we have achieved, and the pink off-red color representing areas where we did not meet our targets. You will see that on that program one, which was administration and governance, it was only those two areas where we had underperformed, but all other deliverables were achieved. Program two, regulation and protection, we achieved all of our areas, save for those three that you see being reflected as pink, and those are the numbers that we were actually to discharge in that year that is under review. Program three, it's the legal compliance and enforcement program that deals with discharging of compliance by builders and home builders and technicians that are working in the industry. You'll see in that space we have been able to achieve all our targets, meaning that we have been able to enforce the building regulations as we had set out ourselves to do. Program four is still part of legal compliance. These are all the areas that we dealt with. Now, program five spoke to our management of the warranty fund. Chairperson and Council, you would remember even during the induction earlier on, they said indicated that we run an insurance scheme as well as the NHBRC, where home consumers are able to tap into that insurance coverage should anything go wrong with their houses. And that's the warranty fund that we are currently running. And you will see that we have been able to maintain that fairly well. And I'm sure the CFO will touch on it when he speaks about the financial review of the organization. Thank you, Chairperson and members.
Thank you, thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and good morning, colleagues. As introduced, my name is Songhe Soboi. I serve as the CFO of the NHBRC. I will just touch briefly, Chairperson, on our financial performance. The full set of our performance is contained on the annual report which has been submitted to the committee. Chair, in as far as the, I think the CEO, acting CEO has touched on our five-year audit outcomes, where we got unqualified audit outcomes from the AG, barring the year 2017-18, where we received a qualified audit outcome due to issues that were raised around the completeness of late enrollment and financial guarantees. And then in the 2018-19, we managed to improve that situation where we got an unqualified with findings on three areas. Number one, on areas of compliance with supply chain principles, issues around material misstatements on some of the line items in our financials, as well as on the level one, the predetermined objectives in terms of our KPIs. I think the acting CEO members have highlighted that we have reflected on the past 5 years in terms of how we've performed. Members, as part of our service offerings, the acting CEO has touched on what we offer, which is the enrollment of homes, both in the subsidy and non-subsidy space, the registration of builders, the renewals of home builders. Now, in terms of the revenue that we generate, Chair, in the last financial year, we got about 766 million in enrollment of homes in both the subsidy and non-subsidy space, which therefore accounts for about 90% of the revenue that we generate. Now, in as far as our resource allocation is concerned, we on our expenditure, honourable members, we do make an allocation to the inspection costs as part of our risk mitigation costs to the warranty fund. Those costs will be lying in our operating expenditure. The operating profit that we reported in the 2018-19 financial year, honourable members, was 161 million, which has been the highest over the past 4 years, barring the year 2014-15. Now, in terms of the investment income, the acting CEO has touched on the warranty cover that we provide. So the warranty fund of the NHBRC has got assets that are invested in the market in the following portfolios, which is the equity portfolios, money market and bond portfolios. So the returns that we are reflecting in the investment income are the returns, members, that have been generated by the markets where these assets are invested. So in the past financial year, members, we got about 423 million, which is a bit down from the year 2017-18 due to some pressures that were experienced by both the equity markets and the bond markets. So the overall picture, Chair, for the last financial year, our overall net profit for the year was 584 million, I think, which is the second highest, I think, in the history of the existence of the NHBRC. Now, in terms of our operating expenditure, also a five-year view, members, the cost that we reported in the prior year was 747 million. So this is the breakdown of how those resources were allocated. A major cost we've allocated to our inspections across the nine provinces, as well as the traveling costs. These are costs incurred by our inspectors as they go out to inspect homes that are enrolled with the council. Our marketing costs are the costs that have been allocated to our outreach in terms of our visibility and consumer awareness and campaigns that we run out there to inform the housing consumers of their rights in as far as they are the homes enrolled with the council. In terms of our balance sheet, Chair, I think the NHBRC historically has had quite a healthy balance sheet. If one looks at the assets, how they grew in the last financial year, our asset base, Chairperson, grew by 621 million, which is about 9% from the year 2017-18. Our equity was driven by the profit that we generated from our operations, which is about 584 million. Our liabilities, Chair, we run a warranty fund where housing consumers enroll homes. therefore, which means that we are then assuming liability in as far as the defects are concerned for those homes. So the liabilities belonging to the warranty fund are around 1.4 billion. So each year, at the end of each financial year, we've got a service provider or actuaries that come in and revalue those liabilities and also looks at the solvency of this fund on a year-on-year basis to look at whether the enrollment fee that we charge at the NHPRC is adequate, as well as the costs associated with the business that we run. And in terms of our cash flow statement, this is the cash that we generate from operations. I think over the past 5 years, members, we have been able to generate positive cash flows, which means that we have been able to put aside some cash into the warranty fund to ensure that the fund grows as we are driving towards protecting our housing consumers. And then this slide, members, it talks to now this warranty fund that I've spoken about, which is the 6.6 billion. So over the 5 years, members, this fund has grew from about 4.9 billion, just under 5 billion in 2014-15. At the end of March 2019, it was sitting just below 7 billion. And in red, in the red blocks, members, these are the liabilities that are associated with the warranty fund. On the graph below, the members, these are the claims that we pay out of the fund for all the claims that are submitted to the NHPRC by the housing consumers. I think in the past 5 years, the highest number that we had paid was in the 2014-15 financial year, which is around 11 million. In the last financial year that just got audited, that number was 3.2 billion. So in terms of the overall assessment of the solvency of the fund, as determined by our actuaries on an annual basis, the fund is sitting at about 440% in terms of the solvency of the fund. Now, in terms of these investments, members, I've highlighted earlier that we have an exposure in terms of the money market portfolio, the bond portfolio, as well as the equity portfolio. The council received a request from the Minister of Human Settlements in terms of how we can allocate some part of the investment portfolio towards affordable housing. So the council has reviewed our position in as far as that is concerned, and that strategy has been approved, members, and it has been submitted to the Office of the Ministry for consideration. Once it's considered there, it will also go to the Ministry of Finance for consideration and approval before it's implemented. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, CEO and the CFO. Honorable members, we are going to take all the presentation together and then allow questions later. Let's get scissors. Thank you. You're welcome, Sisos. You can start.
Chairperson, it's an honor for us to be having this opportunity to talk to the committee. I want to acknowledge the members of the committee, the representatives of the DHS, and our fellow entities. I am Toby Chamzashe, the chairperson of CISOS. My delegation includes, on my left, the chairperson of our finance committee, Mr. Torian Holmes. Extreme right, I've got the acting chief ombud, Dibu Rabuli. Next to me is our manager for revenue, Ms. Boitumelo Pete. We also have the company secretary, Advocate Risenga Maruma. Chairperson, we are a new board appointed in January this year. We are only the second board of CISOS since its inception. We were appointed by previous minister, Noma India, I forget. And when she handed over to us, we had to hit the ground running in the sense that there were already two investigations that had been conducted into the entity. So we had to deal with those investigations. Those investigations affected the two key board appointments, being the chief ombud and the CFO. As you know, chairperson and members, that these days the most difficult part of staffing is to let go of staff members. We've been battling with that process for the better part of this year. In other words, we've been operating without a permanent acting, a permanent chief ombud and a permanent CFO. We are happy, therefore, to say that through a court intervention, we have been given the all clear now to proceed and appoint a chief ombud. And the minister has only last week endorsed our appointment of a CFO. Hopefully, going forward, we will operate the way we are supposed to operate. Besides these two investigations we had to contend with, there were a series of audit findings that we had to fight through, develop the systems and controls that are required, a task that has proved very challenging. So much that the way I can describe things within the entity, if you use a robot or traffic light analogy, we are on amber, having moved from red on our way to green. We believe we did well in some aspects and not so well in others, but the job is going on. Just by way of highlighting some of the activities that we've been involved in, without trying to read what is on the slide, we would like to say our core business being disputes handling. Those are the numbers, and that is 54% more than the previous year. That's the workload we've been receiving. Figures for conciliations that have been finalized are as reflected. Orders issued, 122% more than the previous year. Vacancy rate, not perfect. Still room to be covered. At the end of the financial year, we were standing at 55%. We're now sitting at 46%. Points of presence, in addition to the three provinces we operate in, being Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN, we've established other points, Bloemfontein, Port Elizabeth, East London, and George. The entity, if you look at those stats, has obviously started to move off from the station, and there's room for improvement. Obviously, there are areas that we are battling with, one of which relates to collections. We are still in the process of developing the system, and we started with a strategy. And now we will go out to look for people to develop the system for us. That has an impact on the findings that we have been receiving from the Auditor General. Of course, an entity dealing with such huge amounts of money must have a reliable revenue system. And we are on that because the procurement system has started. We still have room to cover in the area of stakeholder management. We believe we can do more by talking to the people from which we are collecting. To that end, we have started to arrange interaction sessions, because up to now, we've been wary of meeting because we know the answers, we know the questions that they will be wanting us to answer. Would relate to the court cases that have been on the go. We can do more in the marketing communications area so that CSOS is something that is known even to the disadvantaged communities. By way of introduction, Chairperson and members, I thought I should lay the groundwork in that way. I will now invite our Chief Ombud to take us through the operational aspect of CSOS. She will be followed by the revenue manager, who will talk to us about the financial situation. Over to you, Acting Chief Ombud.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, Chairperson of Portfolio Committee, morning members, and morning colleagues. My role will be taking you through the operational report, the objective and the performance information of the community schemes on board service in the previous financial year, the year that is under the audit review. We'll first have to look in terms of our strategic objective. We have five of them, four of them being part of the core business and one which is the last one, which is administration. The first of our strategic objective is to ensure that we regulate all community schemes within South Africa. This is where we do all the registration of schemes, because with the registration in the database, we are able to collect the levy. The second one, we control and we take custody and provide quality assurance of all schemes governance documentation. These are the rules and the constitutions that manages the body corporate, the homeowners associations, the share block companies. We have to ensure SSOs that those documents are compliant to all the relevant legislations are compliant to the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, and we remove any discriminatory rules that will hinder entrance within the community scheme by any member of the public. We also provide dispute resolution services to the community scheme. So what we do when there is a dispute, it be relating to parking, noise, the financial aspect wherein a member of the community scheme is complaining about the levy that he or she is being charged by the scheme, we come in and try to conciliate on the matters. If the matter is not resolved in conciliation, it gets escalated to adjudication. Our adjudication order have the same status as a court order of a high court or a magistrate court, depending on the quantum. So once an adjudication order is issued, that adjudication order can be implemented through the court processes. This has assisted most of the members within the community scheme because it has reduced the cost in terms of them having to approach the court to deal with any of the dispute they might have within the community scheme. You can see from the figures that there is an increase in terms of the number, which means that there was a need for the provision of this type of service from the members of the public. The fourth strategic objective is the provision of stakeholder training, consumer awareness to property owners, occupiers, and anyone who has rights and obligations within the community schemes. This is where we ensure that members, or more particularly people from the previously disadvantaged group, they are educated in terms of their rights, their obligations, because what we've picked up is most of the people buy into community schemes or into sectional titles without understanding what does that entail. We do receive questions where someone will be asking, I have been asked to pay a levy. Why must I pay a levy after I bought my house? So it is our role as CISOs to explain what happens within there, what are the rules, what are the obligations. The fifth one is to ensure that we are sustainable as an organization. In terms of our performance in the previous financial year, we are sitting at 50%. There are some areas where we experience challenges, more particularly relating to the regulation of community scheme, which is the registration. After the Act was proclaimed in 2016, there was a high volume of registration. So we received a huge number of registration. Within 2016, 17, 18, it started to decline up to 18, 19. This is where we saw a decline in terms of the number of registrations, documentations that are submitted to us. In terms of the quality assurance of community schemes governance documentation, we did well. We also did well on the provision of dispute resolution. The effectiveness, we did well, we're sitting at 50% achievement. Some of the contributory factors are the fact that, as the chairperson has indicated, the lack of the core system to automate some of the core processes, such as the registration, the dispute resolution, and the revenue management. We are currently in a process to procure this core system that will ensure that we have a case management system in place, and we also have a system that will enable the schemes to register without having to allow for manual registration that we are currently going through. One of the other challenges was the fact that our Act does not provide us with good enforcement muscles to enforce registration and payment of levies. It's one of the issues that we're going to be attending to in terms of the amendment of the CISOs Act. I'll not go into details in terms of the vacancy as the chairperson has touched on it. The following slide is just an indication in terms of how we fared in terms of the performance information. As indicated, there was a decline. Our baseline in the previous financial year was sitting at 17,000. But as you can see, the decline is very drastic. And as indicated, one of our challenges is the fact that we don't have proper compliance measures as provided for in the CISOs Act. The second one, the number of governance documentation that we have quality assured, we have achieved this target, so I'll not go into detail. The number of certificates which flows from the assurance of schemes governance documentation, we have not. The challenge is that most of the scheme had challenge understanding the process in terms of once they received the recommendation for amendments, what then happens. But we have implemented some education and training, and we are going to be seeing some improvement in this space. In terms of the dispute resolution, we did well. I will not go into detail on that one. As part of our education and training, we have to develop the curriculum to make sure that the education that we provide to the members of the public is accredited and is professionalized. If you can see in terms of the participation within community scheme, currently is still highly skewed in terms of the participation from the previously disadvantaged group is a little bit less. So we have to provide that, make sure that they are professionalized so that some of them do enter the mainstream of being managing agents, they become part of the trustee, they become part of the directors of the sectional titles and the homeowners association. In terms of the EU letters, we do publish all our information in terms of how we are performing within CISOS to all our stakeholders. The bulk messaging, that is what we're doing. The stakeholder engagement, that is how we fed. We went well on that one. In terms of the point of presence, as indicated, we have two currently, Bloemfontein and Port Elizabeth, and we have two satellite offices in George and East London. The revenue management system is the one that we're supposed to partner with SARS. That didn't go well, as SARS said. They are doing a review or an entire overhaul into their system, so they'll not be able to assist. We are hoping now that they are stabilized, we might be able to go back to them and see if there might be some cooperation. The intention is obviously to see if that system that they are working, we can use similarly, because we don't want to go into investing a lot of money into a system that might not work. The collection of the levies, we under-collected by 4 million. The challenge happened in the first quarter of the financial year where the collection was low. However, that has increased. We are now sitting at a positive collection of levies. I'll also dwell much on the AG findings. As you are aware, CISOS was issued with an adverse finding. The adverse finding relate to the fact that we do not have a completeness of levies, that is, all schemes in terms of the CISOS Act are supposed to pay CISOS levies. The other issue relates to the fact that the accrual, we didn't do the accrual when we reported on our levies in terms of the non-exchange. And in terms of the mitigation measure for the completeness of revenue, the completeness of levy can be cured if we can have all schemes in South Africa registered and paying levies. We have approached the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, that is the CIPC. We've already finalized the details in terms of they are going to give us all the information relating to the homeowners association and the share block companies. Then from that information, we will be able to issue compliance notices to all those schemes that are not registered. Once all the schemes are on our database, then we will be able to collect levies from all of them, and we are hoping by then this finding will disappear. And together with that, we have to intensify our marketing and stakeholder engagement, because in some of the interactions that we have made with them, with some of the scheme when we are issuing the non-compliance notices currently, is that some are not aware of who CISOS is. So we need to intensify, go out there throughout the entire republic, inform people about their roles and responsibility in ensuring that they do register with CISOS, give them our mandate in terms of we do assist with the provision of dispute resolution. In that way, they will get comfort in terms of them registering and paying the levies. The accrual issue is something that we can implement in terms of our practice directive. There was an issue in terms of the cut-off for the payment of levies that we recorded. Currently, we have a practice directive that says we cut off on the 7th of the end of the financial year, so we'll just make sure that this is implemented. There was an issue of a note or the the accounting for the previous impairment that was done in the previous financial year, this has already been amended. The issue of the contingent liability, this was also amended. The amount was rectified. There is an issue of the irregular expenditure, which is sitting at 41,734,000. What I can indicate is that this amount relates, or it emanated, 33 million of it emanated from an investigation that was conducted by the AGSA into the tenders that were awarded by CISOs during 2015-16 financial year. There was a report that was issued by the AGSA. It was tabled before our board. We are currently implementing the consequence management with regard to that report. What I can report is that the disciplinary hearing against the implicated employee within procurement is going to be held during November, with the date which is the 27th and the 29th of November 2019. And what I can mention is that the AG will be the witness in that case. So we are hoping this will also serve as a deterrent to all the other staff members to say, if you do something wrong or something that is irregular, consequence management will be taken against you. There was the issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Most of these related to the tenders that were cancelled by the previous board. We had advertised the tenders with the anticipation of awarding them. There was a whistleblowing in terms of someone indicating that there were some irregularities relating to those tenders. So the board took a decision to cancel them. Because the tender didn't go through the entire process, the amount for advertising those tenders then becomes a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We did manage to submit a motivation to the board to have this amount written off from our books. In terms of the future operational outlook, as indicated, we are looking forward to amending our CISOs Act. We've already commenced in terms of, we're currently drafting together with the Department of Human Settlement the policy to support the amendments, and we're also subjecting the amendments through the socio-economic impact assessment, CS phase, which we're currently on one. The amendment will ensure that we have more muscles in terms of enforcing the registration and payment of levies, and obviously the issue relating to the appointment of investigators and inspectors, because one of the challenges currently is we don't have that provision in the Act, and the inspectors or investigators would have assisted us in going out and checking out all those schemes that are not registered in South Africa to make sure that they are brought to books, they are able to register. Another amendment relates to the dealing of the dispute resolution process. One of the outcry we've received from the members of the public was, currently, if you receive an adjudication order, you need to enforce it through the court. And some are saying, we can't afford. Can't you have a mechanism internally to deal with issues where I have a problem with the adjudication order, where the chief ombud can be able to look at it and review it where necessary? I will hand over the financial issues to Buitu Melo, our revenue manager. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairperson, members and colleagues. I'll take you through the financial information of the entity. The first slide shows our income, a breakdown of our main income streams. Our total income for the 2018-19 financial year amounted to 236,741,000. The next slide is on the highlights. We are in the process of addressing a backlog that we had with levies that have been paid. We have a team that is allocating the revenue going as far back as 2017. We are issuing statements of receipts to the schemes as we are allocating the revenue. We have compiled a revenue management strategy which is in a draft form, and it is to be approved by the board. And then we are in a process of benchmarking our revenue management with similar entities to ensure that we align it to best practices. We also are in the process of filling vacancies within the finance division. looking at our statement of financial position, we have total assets of 188 million, liabilities of 9 million, and accumulated surplus of 178 million. Our statement of financial performance, we have revenue from exchange transactions which amounted to 9,800,000. We have revenue from non-exchange transactions which includes the levies. It amounted to 226. And then our total expenditure for the year was 88 million. The statement of changes in net assets shows an accumulated surplus of 178 million. On our cash flow statement, we have our receipts, which is our levies and other income that is broken down. In our investment activities, we have an investment of 20 million, which is in a call account. The next statement is a comparison of our budget and actual amounts for the year. I'll hand back to the Chief of MAT.
I'll just finalize in terms of our governance structure. That is our board. We have the Audit and Risk, FinCom, RIMCO, and LATCOM. I'll not go into details in terms of their duties and responsibility. In terms of our human capital structure, currently we have within our executive the vacancy as indicated, the CFO and the Chief Financial Officers. Most of our managerial position we have fill them, and some of them we are currently in a process of ensuring that that they are filled, prioritizing first the financial division. And majority of the positions that have currently been filled are within the core business, which is the dispute resolution. In terms of the staff composition, we are currently sitting at 90 employees, hoping to increase the number in the current financial year. The key vacancies, as indicated, is the CFO and the Chief Wombat. The Chief Wombat position has been advertised. The CFO position, we've just been informed that the minister has approved it. And one of the issue or the positive is the fact that we do have a low staff takeover. And that's it. I'll hand over to the chairperson to give a conclusion remarks.
Chairperson and honorable members, just to conclude the presentation, we have spoken about the board itself. What we have not highlighted was obviously the court actions or actions around the 80 million rand with the, that was deposited at the VBS. And the actions that we have taken to try and trace it. Basically, we've reported it to SAPS, we've written to the Prudential Authorities, we've also written to the SA Reserve Bank to try and help us. So the process of trying to recover it is underway. The finalization of the positions and vacancies we've spoken about, and the importance of, whilst we're doing well financially, we still can do better if we can define the whole universe of who's owing us or who's supposed to be paying, and that's the revenue system that we've been talking about. There's room to explain who we are, what we do with our stakeholders, and we intend to meet them even starting from this month. We haven't had the good publicity, as you would have seen even in last weekend's City Press, but it's all still to do with the VBS issue. So that is really one issue that keeps us in the news for the wrong reasons, even though it's something that predates this board. But we obviously have to see how we can recover the amount and trace it to wherever it is. We have not been fast off our feet in terms of getting things done timeously. It's something that we are working on, which we will try to improve, because we see CSOS as a real significant opportunity for government, for the Housing Human Settlements Ministry, that when it is ticking nicely, as I use the example of the robot, when it's green, I think a lot can be achieved by government through the collections that we can actually assist with. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much. You know, I expected something else. I'm so Uche, you have dealt with me. I expected something else, you know. Thank you very much. Can we have the last presentation? And well done, Chair. Thanks. 5 minutes, stretch legs, please, so that they can. Yeah.